Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
Doing all right, Earl.
All right. When is your 21st birthday?
It was actually a couple days ago.
Oh,
18th, yeah.
Congratulations, man. You're an old man. 21.
Finally.
I
literally feel no different. But, you know, that's the law of the land.
So 21, you can legally drink now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't. So it's been so long ago. I mean, there was a law in the state that said you couldn't drink under 21. Is that right?
A state law, Wisconsin?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I think it's federal. I'm not sure.
Oh, you think it's federal?
I have to look it up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that sounds sacrilege when you think of all the college students. And
So it's the 1984 National Minimum Drinking Age Act.
And
if it's persons under 21 years of age. So
couldn't legally
federal.
Drink.
Yeah, so it's federal.
So,
in 1984.
So let me ask you something, man.
That's crazy.
So the people,
every state abides by it.
The people in college.
Mm-hmm.
People think they're not drinking?
I don't know, man. This country throws me for a loop.
Hey, man, you know, man.
Like, you think all those like frat parties where they're all just like playing all these beer games, drinking alcohol from on top of the roof,
right?
Like, you think they're from 18 to 21?
Yeah,
those are the undergraduate ages, right? You graduate at like 21 normally. So
right.
I don't know what they're thinking that kids are not doing, but whatever.
I mean, to have that law,
yeah,
and I mean, what's the point? So you know, when I was 18, you could drink, and especially when you live in a state like this one that wants everybody to get drunk, right?
Yeah, like Wisconsin.
I mean, that's what's happening in the state of Wisconsin, man, to see who can get drunker the fastest.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you make other types of drugs that are a lot more safer,
yeah.
Legal, like weed.
Yeah,
because
man.
Then people will find that fix somewhere else, and they'll find it in alcohol.
So you know, University of Wisconsin has, you know, been named the drunkest state college in the nation many times, and people celebrate. Hey, we won! We're the drunkest. I mean, and they walk around with a badge of honor that, you know, it's the one college where the most drunk people are.
Yeah,
the state of Wisconsin, the drunkest state in the union. And people are walking around with their chest poked. Hey, we won! Oh, you did you? You won? You're proud to be the drunkest state in the nation?
Everything's a competition.
I know, man. I know, man. You know, I live in this state, man. I don't know how you're proud of that.
Wisconsin's good for a lot of things. That's not one of them.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what we're proud of, man. And people from across the nation say, hey, wait a minute. And it's not like people aren't getting drunk all over the place. And I don't know why everything is, where was I at? Oh, I was at the beer garden on Friday in Milwaukee. Now, for those of you who are wondering, no, I wasn't drinking beer. I'm not opposed to people drinking beer, man. You know what I mean? There was a time when I drank beer. I was never a big beer drinker.
Mm-hmm.
I was a weed smoker, right?
Yeah.
And so I didn't drink much. And so as a young person, I smoked a lot of weed. Yeah, I did, man. And I inhaled, and I enjoyed smoking weed.
Yeah.
You know. Smoked weed for a lot of years. I really did, man. And really, to be honest with you, I miss smoking weed. I do. But, you know, it comes a point in your life where you say, hey, I enjoy more being sober.
That's true.
Than I do with all those other things that I used to do. So I never go back to those things because I just enjoy being sober. And listen, man, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm high all the time. I get up high. You know, I go to bed high. You know, but it's natural high.
High on life.
Yeah, on life and all those things. But I'm not, listen, I'm not, you know, against anybody else having fun. I had my fun.
Yeah.
You know, in that way, but I'm having as much fun or more since I've been sober.
Yeah.
And but anyway, here's the point I'm trying to make, man. So there's a meeting that I was going to on Sunday afternoon, and I went, and I had never been to a beer garden. Have you ever been to a beer garden?
I mean, I just turned 21.
Yeah, I know. That's what kind of question is that? I apologize. It's too early in the morning, man.
No, it's fine.
I'm not putting you on the line like that. But anyway, and man, there are people with two mugs of beer. One in each hand, and mugs, not a mug, but the big quart, or gallon, whatever it is, man. It's more than, it's probably got about 6 cups of beer in it, but they got 2 of these. Man, it's 11 o'clock in the morning, right? And I'm like, wow, man.
Wow.
Hey, and the women are doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, everybody getting drunk.
Yeah, I'm like,
at 11 a.m.
Hey, it's 11 o'clock in the morning. It's hot outside.
Hey, I mean, as long as you don't got work.
I know. Yeah, but, you know, when I would drink beer,
yeah,
I guess you can get immune to it too, right?
Yeah.
The more of it you drink, the more your body, adjusts to it. And
I mean, not even just that, though, because I mean, I drink sometimes and I still can't take it because I'm thin as a rail. People need to understand, like, when you have meat on your bones, that really helps with building tolerance.
Yeah. Right. Well, I got some meat on my bones, but, you know, but man, just knocking off beer after beer after beer. And guess what else I saw? They weren't going to the bathroom. Man, I drink a couple cups of water, and I'm running to the bathroom every 5 minutes. And it's amazing to me that people can drink all that beer and not have to go to the bathroom. But I guess like anything else, you build up a tolerance, and you can get used to that, and your body gets used to it. But man, you know, it's not something I can do. But it's amazing to me how much beer people can drink, man. You know.
I mean, you're talking about beer. Like, I've seen people do, like, I wouldn't say the same thing, but something pretty similar with vodka.
Vodka.
And gin.
And gin.
Sprite and gins. You know how many bars are in downtown Waukesha? You know how many times I've been to downtown Waukesha seeing people order, like, 3-4 glasses of just, I don't know, Sprite and gin? Like, how? How do you do that?
Sprite and gin.
And then come back the next day.
Well, you know, it's you know, it's legal. And so it's legal, and that's how people have fun. And, you know, I used to have fun. And then I got old. But no,
man. You still have fun now,
right? I'm only joking, man. I have fun all the time. I'm enjoying myself right now. I truly am, man. But let me say this, man, because I wanted to begin with this. You look like a Skittles guy to me.
Skittles?
Yeah.
I mean,
did you? I mean, come on, you like candy, right?
I mean, kind of. I'm not like super into candy.
No, okay.
But I liked very specific candies.
Yeah, well,
because I ate them a lot as a kid, so they mean something to me.
Well, I used to like Skittles, man.
Yeah.
You know, and even as an adult, you know, I would indulge in Skittles, and there was something about Skittles, man. Just the flavor of them, intense. And then you turn around and you find out that the Skittles that we've been eating has carcinogens in them.
Of course they do.
Well, what do you mean, of course they do?
Like, why am I not surprised?
Man, I'm just saying,
it's
man.
It's like every single food we eat.
I know, do people know what carcinogens are and what they do? And what I want to talk about is, so do you know that you're being poisoned? And so somebody knows. I mean, they knew all along that these carcinogens were in the Skittles. And we're just talking about Skittles, as you stated before.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is. You know, people are poisoning us. And legally. And getting away with it. And businesses are making money.
Yeah.
But candy, man, come on. Children are eating a lot of candy, and all of these things are in there, supplemental
yeah.
to what, you know, it else is in there that's good. I mean, what can be good in the candy if they put carcinogens in them?
I just pulled up this article, and it's from EWG. And it says EWG call on the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to quickly consider whether to ban titanium dioxide from use in food. A chemical that may damage our DNA should not be in Skittles, Starburst, or cupcakes.
Titanium
nutritionist.
Titanium dioxide.
Titanium
dioxide. Okay.
Yes, titanium dioxide.
So I don't even know what titanium dioxide is, but it doesn't sound like something that's good for your body,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like instead of carbon, it's titanium, because carbon dioxide is CO2, and that's CO2 isn't very, very good. It can cause greenhouse effects. So, I mean, titanium dioxide is probably just titanium. I don't know what it does, but no, apparently
well, listen, man, I don't know what it is, what it does. But it certainly doesn't sound like something, you know, you need to be eating every day. Titanium dioxide.
Five things to know about the Skittles lawsuit over titanium dioxide.
Well, we're going
to
talk about that after we come back.
I'm sorry.
Because, I mean, if you knew, you know, that you were eating titanium dioxide, you wouldn't get up in the morning and say, well, I need my fair share of titanium dioxide today. You know what I mean? You know, I got to drink my milk because I need that, and you know, and I need these other vitamins. But where's my allotment of titanium dioxide today? You know, I mean, got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open always at 844-967-2789. The young scientist, Connor, is here and explaining to my generation about these things. Man, only in America. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. You know, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Connor, that song is apropos for what we are talking about right now, the ghetto. You know, I mean, man, come on, man. Yep. So here we are. This corporation had already been warned once before about this. And you said 2018 is from the first article you saw, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So help me do the math. Yeah, I count my fingers. That's four years ago that they were warned about this. So the Food and Drug Administration was already aware of it. They ignored that and continued to produce this, knowing the overall damage that they're doing. But you hear people say, and this is what kills me about people on the right of these things, we don't want regulation. You ever hear people say they don't want regulation, kind of?
Yeah.
And the insanity of those words is that regulation is there to protect, supposedly, the citizens.
Yeah. I mean, regulation itself is kind of like a mixed bag in a lot of ways, because in some ways it can be really damaging. And I wouldn't say damaging, but just really inconvenient. Most of the times, though, it's for the common good. Like, for an example, right? There was this juice tax, right?
Right.
That was implemented in Illinois a couple years ago. Or it was a sugar tax specifically in Chicago, and it raised the prices of drinks, right? And it was designed to disincentivize people from going. But what happened is that people just went to Indiana, to purchase all of their juice and stuff because it costs a lot less.
Well, but
it stifled businesses in Chicago because a lot of corner stores and stuff sell that's their main source of income.
Right, but here's what it comes down to. They found out the sugar content in those juices would cause severe damage. The more sugar you eat, especially in your growth, your teeth, all sorts of things. Sugar is not good for you. White sugar, we know, is not good for you. And yet those drinks were laden with sugar. And in my generation, we didn't know as much. I mean, I used to drink a 2-quart liter of soda a couple times a day when I was a kid, right? You didn't know any better. Once they found out about all those things, then they could do it. But let's get back to the Skittles situation. Now, we know the marketing that they do with Skittles, the packaging, the colors. Children see that, right? Colorful commercials, all those things, the amount of money. And then you find out, what is happening. There is a Food and Drug Administration whose responsibility it is to check all those things and try to protect the American people. But when you know that things like this happen, and now it's come back up, because, here's a gentleman, his name from California, a man named Janelle Thames, has, filed a lawsuit. And so now this comes back out, even though it should have already been done. And Skittles, the producers of Skittles, shouldn't have just got a slap on the wrist. Now, this time around, what should happen to a company that it legally, knowingly, after they've been warned, is poisoning the American people? Should there be sympathy for the corporation? No. People will say, that's a global corporation. Skittles are being sold all over. What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? The fact that you are doing this to people unknowingly and children, that should be criminal, right?
Yeah. I think it's just very difficult to draw a very specific line. I mean, you would say, it's just because of the fact that if titanium dioxide is titanium dioxide, it will kill you. So that probably shouldn't be in Skittles. It seems easy from the outset, but you have to look at it like a lot of people that work in the FDA are people that aren't, let's say, they don't understand every single part of the process, right, of the production chain that these companies go through to produce their products. And so they're left out either willingly because of the company or because they just don't have enough knowledge about how certain things can affect people, and they just let things go through.
So
then it hurts someone, right? Or an actual, like, knowledgeable, I don't know, like, university or something does, like, a test on it saying, oh, well, this can hurt you, and they respond back to it.
So let me tell you what the problem is with the FDA.
Yeah.
The fact that the politicians don't put enough money into the FDA.
Exactly.
Where there are enough agents to do the work. And they do that knowingly. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. We know what the issue is. You know, those of us who've been around a while. And so we're just talking about Skittles. But I was also, you know, going to talk a little bit more about other things. They're only singling out Skittles. You can talk about, we're going to talk a little bit about, what's the name of this company, man? They make sub sandwiches. What do you call, what's
like
the
Subway?
Name? Subway.
Yeah.
And they're telling the people that they've got salmon sandwiches. Salmon, is that how you pronounce it?
Well, salmon. That's
salmon. And so people are buying that. Believing that
there's no question they're carcinogens. And guess what's
so,
on that?
Well, so for people who may not know what carcinogens are, they're cancer-causing agents, but go ahead.
Right. Yeah. Group 1 carcinogens. Research is complete on this list of group 1. You can go online, and if you Google IARC group 1, you'll find the list. It's all the known carcinogens proven by science. And alcoholic beverages are on that list, and processed meats. And I think there are more people consuming alcoholic beverages and processed meats than there are Skittles. California has Prop 65, where they require labeling of carcinogens.
Right.
And so there's a physicians group that's actually suing the state of California to get carcinogen warning labels on all processed meat products. And they've been dragging their feet for the last 6 years. So there's a big lawsuit going on. So watch for that. But yes, there are many things that we are allowed to eat, and the authorities look the other way, that are killing us.
So Dave, let me say this, because when you look at this thing from the progression of it, we know that we are being poisoned with what we eat, what we drink. And it's one thing if you do these things knowingly. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If you do the things knowingly, you know that cigarette smoking now is going to cause cancer. And
right.
they put it on the pack now. Didn't do that in the 50s and the 40s and the 30s, and all those people died from smoking cigarettes and commercials and all those things, and our government allowed it to go on. Only, what was it, the early 70s that they were finally forced, or early to mid 70s, were forced to put on the packages that cigarette smoking could be dangerous to your health. Didn't ban cigarette smoking, even though they knew the damage that it was causing to people.
Right.
Insurance companies, knowing the outcome and impacting and affecting their bottom lines, hospitals and you know, the medical industry, all of these things are interconnected. And so the American people don't know that all these things are interconnected. Our health in a for-profit health system, Dave.
Right, and we pay, we're all paying for it in higher healthcare premiums because of all the diseases that these products are giving the population.
And my point, Dave, is the population is unaware or just doesn't care or don't believe that our government would allow these things to happen. And it's one thing, Dave, with buyer beware, right? We understand in capitalism, sure, buyer beware. So you should, you know, even though we know there's some horrible things that could happen to you, read the small print and it'll tell you. Yeah, well, how many people run around reading the small print? But my pushback on the small print is there should never be any small print there. Our government should be protecting its citizenry from people who endangered it, right? Wouldn't you say
that? I totally agree. I totally agree with that. Absolutely.
You know, so all of these things, Dave, not romantic, not something that you're going to get people on other talk shows or television talking about, but nobody can argue with these things because they're actually happening, right? And so right, the American people need to be educated on these things and to know that all of this orchestrated by businesses, right?
Right. The bottom line is what matters. That's all.
Yeah, the bottom line is what matters. Hey, Dave, thank you very much for the information. I'm going to go on the IAIC because, as you stated, we're talking about Skittles. You know, it's just, you know, a small segment of the population that does the Skittle thing. But
yeah,
but drinking
IARC group 1 carcinogens, yes.
But drinking, but alcohol?
Yep, that's on there.
And lunch meat, cold cuts?
Yep.
Come on.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call, my friend. I really truly appreciate it. You know, I don't, you know, gain any satisfaction because I know what is going on when it comes to these things. You know, our nation should be as diligent as they are in Europe when they ban those things. Well, in this country, we don't want things banned. But things that are not good for you should be banned. I don't know how it's possible that you think, those of you who think, well, we shouldn't be banning things. Well, yeah, you should. You know, I go back to Connor many decades ago, and I remember reading an article on cigarettes and tobacco. And the fact that our government would allow the tobacco companies to put an addictive substance on the tobacco. It wasn't just that they grew the tobacco, but they sprayed an addictive substance on the tobacco in order to addict the American people to the tobacco. And all of those people died from it. And nobody got sued, and that information just disappeared. And this is why I always say, we talk about our representative government, but that's what they're supposed to be looking out for us. We can't look out for ourselves. When it comes to corporations, we don't live in that kind of a society. But we need to make sure that our representatives and light a fire under them to make sure that they're willing to fight for us and for all of us. And, you know, we've got to do a better job of making sure that those things happen. You know, look, man, you're a young guy, and And you got your whole life ahead of you. You're a smart guy, so you'll be looking out for those kinds of things. But people from my generation, you know, we didn't know those things. We trusted our government, you know. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let me know, do you trust the government? I mean, as it's constituted right now, do you really trust the government of the United States? And understanding that the government is the people who represent us, you know, that's who it is. Be they Republican or Democrat, do you trust the government as it's presently constituted? I don't. And I haven't for a long, long time. And this is not anti-American. This is patriotic. You know, challenging our government to be better is what it comes down to. Not just accepting it at face value. You know something's not right. Why be silent? You know, and I know the other part of it is American people are so afraid, man. We're so afraid. But let me say this to you. You don't have to be afraid right now because I'm the one doing the talking, you know. So nobody's going to come knocking on your door because you're listening to what I'm talking about. But the truth of the matter is, make it a better place. Make it a better nation. Make it a better future for those who come after us. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Connor, man, here's something. I really just don't get some things, man. I understand it's a different time now. But I don't get parents right now, and they're saying, well, we can't deal with our teenagers. The teenagers are just driving us crazy, and I don't know. We don't know what to do. Something has happened to our teenagers.
Isn't that like every generation, though? Isn't that like every generation?
That's my point, man. Since the beginning of time, there were teenagers, right? I mean, you know. And so teenagers are different. They've been different forever. You know, I remember, I always like watching the movies when the teenagers before my generation from the 50s, and you would see them, they would be at the sock hops and, well, you don't know anything about this stuff.
I know what a sock hop is.
Okay, so they would be at these, you know, the corner place where they'd play a little music and they, you know, jump around and have fun and all those kinds of things. And I like watching those movies, you know. And so, you know, I had teenagers, you know, but people saying they can't deal with their teenagers. What is that about, man? You know, teenagers are going to try you. You know, I was, you know, my generation, I'm sure our parents thought we were nuts. You know, I wasn't a juvenile delinquent, and we're not talking about teenagers being juvenile delinquents. Speaking of juvenile delinquents,
why?
Mike Crute, what's going on, man? Mike, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. You got to bring me up.
Yeah. Okay. Is it, we got it?
Yes. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, man. Why are people acting like teenagers? They got all kind of problems with teenagers.
Well, you know what, Earl? I can't believe I'm listening to you sound like an old man saying, "You kids get off my lawn." But, you know, the young man that works with you, Connor, is only a couple years out of his teens. But here's what I would say, Earl. I got a teenager, and these are troubled times for these kids. I mean, think about what happened in the last couple of years. And I feel blessed that my boys are both doing really well, and seemingly they're on track to the futures. But, I mean, you could certainly understand, Earl, why the kids might get disillusioned. They lived through a pandemic. These kids are, they're subject to a mass shooting at any given time. They have to go through mass shooting drills like we used to do tornado drills. They're doing mass shooting drills. Well, how does that not affect you? Or you look at the temperature, Earl. I mean, I know that Ron Johnson thinks that climate change is BS. And the corporate line, I heard you talking earlier about corporations. You know, basically Exxon is known they were burning up the planet since the 1970s.
Right.
And it hasn't really been held up, not as... Well, some people say this and some people say that. Well, some people say the earth is flat, but they're wrong. And the fact that the government doesn't come out more clearly, more robustly, and this could be Joe Biden's time. You know, Joe Manchin just blocked his ability to actually make any meaningful change. Well, A, come out and rip Joe Manchin. B, come out and declare a climate emergency. We're handing these kids a burning planet, Earl. And you know what? The information is so readily available to them through the internet, through the cell phones in their pockets. I mean, Earl, I saw some dirty magazines at 13, 14 years old, but it wasn't in my pocket. I didn't take it with me. There weren't all these other distractions and false expectations of social media, et cetera. So, you know, the fact that these kids get up every day and try... You know, I give them credit someday.
So, Crew, I was not condemning of the young people. What I am saying is parents who say I can't deal with my teen. You know.
Oh, I get it. I get it. I feel that way some days.
You do.
Oh, absolutely. We all do, man. If you raise a teenager, certainly. And I'm not picking on my teenager. He's a pretty good kid, my youngest. But sure. There's been conflict in the house. There always is, because teens are supposed to be breaking away from their parents. And these are scary times they live in. And, you know, they're just supposed to be getting a girlfriend or figuring themselves out, Earl. And there's a lot of external stuff that's been thrown in their lives. Especially in the last couple of years.
So, Crute, I don't...
Schooling, virtual, all that stuff, Earl.
I would say this. Clearly, the advent of technology and what kids are exposed to. My generation was never exposed to the kinds of things that they have been exposed to. No question whatsoever. My generation certainly was not exposed to the kinds of killings that take place. I know I was talking with a group of young boys the other day at this camp that I've been running, Crudy, and I And it was about 40 of them, and I asked them to raise their hands if they knew someone who had been shot. And almost the entire group of 40 raised their hands. And I know that if that question would have been asked to my generation at that point in time, if one would have raised their hands, we would have looked at that person in disbelief. So I'm not unmindful, Scrutiny, that there's certainly this is a difficult time. But teenagers and parents, it's always been a difficult time trying to marry those two together. And so, you know, you can say that I'm having all kind of trouble out of my teen, but that's kind of what teens do, right? I mean, that's what...
Well, you know, Earl, we never drop the hammer on our youngest. I mean, the punishments have not been severe. The you know, A, he's the baby, and B, he's a pretty good kid. But there have been some things that, you know, the kids can kind of throw it back in your face to the point now where you're like, well, you know, what if I couldn't imagine spanking a kid. Now he's 16,
right.
He's as big as
right.
But you know what I mean? The sort of corporal punishment, the strict discipline that I was raised with, Earl, didn't make me a strong enough man. I joined the Army. I got a little more discipline still. And, you know, for a guy like me, discipline was a missing ingredient that I needed to kind of find my own self-motivation. But what I would say is, you know, I care less about the bemoaning parents, but I do think, and Earl, I admire the work you do with Voices of the Elders, and I know, I mean, holy smoly, man, I'm not even throwing the whole thought of not just mass shootings, but neighborhood shootings. You know,
right,
people getting shot where you live, Earl.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we had some gunfire in Madison or in rural Wisconsin. It's on the front page.
Right.
And I tell you, we are not, I do not live in fear of getting shot. I do not.
Right.
But I can tell you, the other night I was on that same highway, Highway 43 North in Milwaukee, that somebody's body ended up on the highway. And I'm always amazed when these sort of things happen. Or there's a shootout on the interstate. I mean, how random is that? You can't not get on the interstate.
So
I can see where people would start fearing the world we live in, but it's still safer than it was back in the 1970s. It was a lot more violent. There was a lot more things killing us younger at those ages. At least they warned us about smoking.
You know, Crute, you make me think about, I was going to end this subject, but I've got to carry it over to the next hour, because you've made me think about something else that I need to discuss when we're talking about this subject. But thank you very much. I appreciate it, man. Mike Crute, the devil's advocate himself, calling the show this morning.
Well,
man.
Have a great morning, Earl.
Hey, you got nothing else to do, Mike?
Well, I'm out actually listening to this beautiful. I'm listening to this shiny, clear 540 signal. I'm driving.
It is unbelievable. Crudy, it is unbelievable, man. It's a great signal. No question, man.
Don't keep it a secret. Tell somebody.
Yeah. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Really appreciate it. That's Mike Crute. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be back.
I feel the weight of the world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get older. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness.